everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. Her hopes and aspirations were big. She was on her way, a South Carolina beauty queen who would soon know the pain of being violated, a pain that would forever change the compass of her life and propel her towards a lifestyle that would end in scandal, to the bringing down of a presidential hopeful, and consequently her own life as well. Or so she thought. A magna cum laude and Phi Beta Kappa University grad, Donna had all the smarts to take her wherever she wanted to go, from modeling to acting to a successful marketing career. But God had more in mind, more than even she imagined. Here to tell the backstory behind her story in part one of our two-part conversation is internationally renowned internet safety advocate and president of Enough is Enough, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization confronting online victimization, including child pornography, predators, and cyberbullying, and more. Would you welcome with me to Testimony, an honor indeed, Miss Donna Rice Hughes. Donna, welcome to Testimony.
Thank you so much, Jensine. It really is wonderful to be with you and with your audience today.
Well, it's great to have you with us today, Donna. Your story of scandal in the 80s, for those who may not know, in association with then-Democratic presidential hopeful Gary Hart, could have ended your life and whatever aspirations for a career you may have had. Instead, however, you were propelled into a life of protecting innocent children and informing unsuspecting parents of the dangers of internet pornography, cyberbullying, gaming, and the like. But before we get into all of this, Donna, I want our listeners to hear how you overcame your own devastation, how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, and how that has helped you in what you are doing today. Donna, would you please tell us that story?
I will gladly do so. I, as you mentioned, I was brought up with so much going for me. I was very blessed to have a mother and grandmothers who believed in God, who were followers of Jesus, and my mother took my sister and I to church every Sunday. And so by the time I was in the ninth grade, I decided to actually, you know, surrender my life to the Lord Jesus and made a public confession of my faith at that time, and served really throughout high school and college in the youth group and as a summer missionary and sang in the choir, dated Christian guys. And really just, in some ways, I was like, you know, the all-American, you know, poster girl for, you know, for a young Christian gal. And then towards the end of my college career, some things started to change. And our pastor and the entire church, you know, leadership left to go out to another church in another state. And my college boyfriend graduated that I had been dating, and just a lot of things began to change in my life, and my fellowship really wasn't, you know, what it had been in the past. And what I found was that I was starting to make little subtle compromises in my life, you know, these little left turns. We don't typically go from A to Z overnight, you know, but we'll just make a subtle compromise here and there, and before you know it, you can be out of fellowship. And so by the time I graduated from college, I really was beginning to be out of fellowship with the Lord and with others. And it was at that time, when I was on my way to compete in the Miss World pageant in South Carolina, that I lost my virginity against my will, and I didn't tell anyone. And that really devastated me and sent me into a whole lifestyle of pretty bad choices when it came to especially dating, you know, dating guys that were not any good for me. And so a number of those years went by. I call them my prodigal 20s. And eventually, in 1987, I found myself in the middle of the international scandal that you spoke of. And at that time, my whole life fell apart, and everything I placed my identity in was lost, because I had maintained a very good reputation and a lot of success in my career, but I was away from the Lord. And so God used that time to really get my attention and to draw me back to himself. And so, early on in the beginnings of the scandal unfolding, which really lasted, I was probably in the headlines for about a year and a half.
Wow.
I said, God, I just, I don't know how you're going to deal with this. I don't know how you're going to use this. But I had the foundation of a relationship with Christ, and I knew the promises of God. And fortunately, my mom and my grandmother and even some Christians that I had been close to earlier in my life came around me. And I ended up going 7 years underground to heal.
Wow. Now, what does that mean exactly? What did you actually do? And I'm curious, Donna, why didn't you tell anyone that you were date raped?
Well, quite frankly, I blamed myself because I was in a situation I should not have been in. And this is often the case. And this was, the kind of thing that you just... It wasn't even, that term was not even coined at the time, and I really did blame myself. And also, I had wanted to, and my dream and vision was to be a virgin when I got married, and once that was gone and taken from me, I didn't understand that I could come back into a second virginity. That was not, we hear that now with the purity movement, but back then, we're talking 1980, that was brand new, and plus I was on my way to New York, so I just never told anybody. And then really led a, somewhat of a promiscuous lifestyle after that.
Right.
And then, of course, the scandal happens. And at that point, I just knew I wanted to take the high road. I knew that I wanted the pain to count for something. And I chose not to exploit the notoriety. I was offered lots of really amazing offers, millions of dollars, to do things I had always wanted to do, like have my own TV show and this, that, and the other. But at the same time, there were many exploitive offers, and it was hard sometimes to tell the difference. And so I just decided to be still and to be quiet, and literally just as best I could dropped out of sight. It took a little while to drop out of sight, but...
Right.
But I did. And then, God in his great sense of humor... brought me back to Washington to get married, and which is a place where I never thought I would want to live, and because everything here pretty much revolves around the media and politics, and I wanted nothing to do with either one of those. And so, but again, God in his great mercy and wisdom and sense of humor, he sometimes uses those places where we've been broken to redeem us and to restore us. And so that's what he did with me, and I started working with Enough is Enough in 1994, which was the same year I got married to Jack and settled down in Northern Virginia, just outside of Washington. And within a couple of weeks of starting that job, at the time Enough is Enough was focused on protecting children, women, and men from illegal pornography in print and broadcast. The Internet had not become commercialized yet. Most people didn't even know about it. And so we began to see, within 2 weeks of me starting that job, the beginnings of sexual predators and child pornographers and hardcore pornographers using the forerunner of the Internet, which were the bulletin boards and the news groups, to in exploiting that technology to get this black marketed material and this criminal behavior, to flourish. And so that got our attention, and that's how I actually got started. And we were really used and as a early pioneer and visionary group to raise awareness about what the dangers were going to be on the Internet and how we could get on top of those and hopefully prevent them from happening in the first place.
Donna, leading up to the time of the scandal and you get married and looking back, would you say that the naivete of your parents, perhaps, or the lack of guidance, or the lack of maybe spirituality in your life, had something to do with where you were driven away from God? And was the scandal with Gary Hart a catalyst of change for you? In other words, how important is your backstory as being the foundation for your new story today?
Well, I mean, the foundation of, you know, my early life is really important from the standpoint that, you know, I knew right from wrong. You know, I was brought up in a good family, you know, had a good Christian solid, you know, foundation in my life. And so that, you know, that was very strongly entrenched and in place. But I was also brought up in the Deep South, you know, where you don't lock your doors and you just trust people. And when I went off, you know, to New York, you know, as Miss South Carolina, you know, I trusted everybody. I didn't realize that there were, you know, people and men, you know, that would want, you know, to use you and you know, sexually and these kinds of things. That's just, I was not exposed to that kind of thing as a young person. And you can also find yourself very much caught up in the world, if you will, especially in the high glamour of modeling and acting and these kinds of things. And I find now, even as I work and I teach about things like grooming, you know, how sexual predators groom young women and young men on the internet, how they gain their trust, you know, it's just they're using the technology to do something that's been done for a long, long time. And, you know, where your defenses get down, you begin to trust someone and that sort of thing. And so I found that, you know, in my 20s that, you know, I fell into some of those traps myself. It looked a little different then, certainly, than it does now. But, you know, the tactics are the same. And as a Christian, we know that what we're really battling against are not people necessarily, but we're in a spiritual war. And the enemy of our souls, if you're already a Christian, you know, they want to ruin your life and ruin your testimony. And if you're not, they want to keep you from God's best. And so I think, you know, the naivete of me and even my parents were that, you know, people were basically good, you know, and that's not true. The Bible doesn't teach that. And so now with the work that we do to protect children online, one of the hardest groups to convince, groups of parents to convince are Christian parents.
That's amazing to me, and we're going to talk more about that in the second segment of our story with you today. You know, I'm reminded, Donna, of the scripture that states, what Satan means for evil, God will turn to his glory. And it certainly would appear that the Lord has done just that in your life, and now you are being used by God to help countless millions do the same. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Donna Rice Hughes, president of Enough is Enough, an international nonprofit organization fighting to protect our children from the horrific assault of internet pornography, gaming, and cyberbullying. Donna will be back with us next week to discuss in detail what signs to look for, what can we do about it, and why keeping silent or assuming the best of your children is not an option. Donna, thank you for being with us on Testimony Today. We look forward to having you back with us next week. God bless you.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensen Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensenebard.com. That's one word, JensenBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensen Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Last week, you heard the story behind the story of one of today's most passionate and renowned advocates against internet pornography targeting your children, and the fight to end it through information, education, and hopefully legislation. But how do you legislate a predator on the internet, ready to seduce your child at a moment's notice, at the click of a mouse? And what are the effects on the minds of these children when vile images are thrust upon them unsolicited? And by then, it becomes too late for many of them seeking a way out, but too ashamed to talk about it. And what about the spiritual vacuum pervading our society today? Is stopping the perversity on the internet, cyberbullying, and gaming the entire answer? Or is there more to it? Here to talk about this and more in part two of our conversation today is internationally known internet safety expert and advocate and president of Enough is Enough, Ms. Donna Rice Hughes. Donna, welcome back to Testimony.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be back with you.
Well, it's great to have you. I loved our first segment. And you, Donna, experienced your own pain of being violated, which you talked about, by someone you should have been able to trust. It profoundly affected the course of your life, and not in a positive way, but by the grace of God, you overcame it, the political scandal that followed, and so much more, and are now one of this nation's leading proponents to fighting online violations of every kind. You have put together a groundbreaking DVD instructional video and with the wealth of resources that anyone can avail themselves of by going to internetsafety101.org for those wanting to purchase and know more. So I just want to let our listeners know that right up front. I also want to let them know, Donna, that you've been the voice and the face on this issue for every major television news and radio network for the past 20 years. And you're over 4,000 plus interviews and appointment by Senator Trent Lott to serve on the Child Online Protection Act Commission speaks to the gravity of your organization's impact. You truly are a pioneer in this area. So, Donna, for this segment, would you give our listeners some very real statistics on the dangers of online pornography, cyberbullying, sexual predators, sexting, and threats related to social networking? Donna, we are all ears.
Well, thank you. Yes, before I start talking about the real statistics and the dangers, I think it's important that we understand that the internet is technology. It's a technology tool that can be used for good or for evil. And I happen to love the internet. I love this technology. I love digital technology. It has dramatically changed our lives. But, you know, anything that can be used for good, and especially exponential good, like the internet can also be used for exponential evil. And that's really important. And in our nation, unlike television and unlike print and magazines, which are regulated, even telephones are regulated, the internet is a completely open forum. So you can get, you know, some really bad stuff out there. And unfortunately, you know, kids are, fortunately or unfortunately, you know, they can run circles around most of their parents and grandparents, certainly, in using this technology. I have three of my own grandchildren now, ages 1.5, 2, and 4. And they're incredible. So let me start with one of the key dangers that I think is the real driver on the internet, and that is pornography. Children have free and easy access to all types of pornography online. They have access to adult material that adults could get in print and broadcast, but children cannot. But on the internet, kids have access to that. They also have access to hardcore triple X material that the courts deem obscene. However, and that is not protected speech for adults, yet kids have free and easy access to all of that very graphic pornography and very deviant material like bestiality and violent pornography. And then they also have access to child pornography, which depicts the child being violated. And that is also illegal content. But it's very difficult for law enforcement to get all of this. And in the case of the hardcore material, those laws are not even being prosecuted. So parents really need to understand that the pornographers are coming looking for your kids. Your kids don't have to go looking for pornography. And we show you how that works in our Internet Safety 101 program so that you can really get, you know, motivated to make sure that your kids aren't being exposed to this kind of thing. Now, and about 9 in 10 kids, I will say, are being exposed accidentally to pornography online. Both boys and girls are getting addicted to it. It's not just a guy thing. Now, with respect to sexual predators, predators and pedophiles are using the internet to seek out and exploit unsuspecting vulnerable children. Usually the most vulnerable age is 12 to 14 and even a little older, and they can groom them. And if you go on our site, you can learn all about what this means. And I think it's so important that parents don't fall into the trap that their kids are not, that their kids are immune from this just because they're smart kids. Okay, because smart kids, good kids, get caught up in these traps. Cyberbullying is a huge issue. About 50% of kids, you know, have been cyberbullied, and oftentimes a cyberbullied kid can become a cyberbully themselves. And we deal with how to keep kids safe on social networking sites and online gaming sites. And we, with the Department of Justice, we actually created the Internet Safety 101 program that you were talking about. And it's a four-part DVD teaching series with the workbook curriculum. It's all for parents and grandparents and teachers and adults, because from our standpoint, it's our responsibility as adults to protect the innocence of our children. We have to stand in the gap. We have to do it for a number of reasons, because these dangers and the evil that is out there lurking, you know, in these spaces online can really devastate a child and in some instances, you know, ruin their life. And so, and the good news, however, is that it's all preventable.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it really is. It's all preventable. But you've got to now understand it's not just the desktop anymore. If your child has a smartphone, they have a gaming device, those are little mini computers. And you must begin to recognize what those dangers are. And I just ran through some of them. And then how to manage your children's internet access so that they can enjoy the really good parts that the technology has to offer and stay away from the dangers. And that is the parents' or the teachers' or the grandparents' responsibility.
Right. Now, Donna, you have these DVD teachings available on your website at www.internetsafety101.org. Is that correct?
It is. You can learn much more about it. We have some video clips up there. You can learn how to order the program. It's really inexpensive. Let me just say this. You can get the DVD teaching series, which is in four parts, and a little booklet that goes with it for only $28. And you can get the full curriculum for $54. And we designed this. And in fact, it's won a lot of awards. But we designed it to be used by either individual parents or grandparents or teachers, or even in a small group kind of a study at your church or with your PTA group.
Now, I think this is so fabulous, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on the program, because you have actively been doing this for the past 20 years. What, in your view, Donna, is the singular most obvious reason why children can and do get addicted to pornography? What goes on in the mind once they view a vile image?
Well, you know, it really can take on, you know, a whole life of its own. We have to realize that our brains are just like little computers. You know, images are not erased. And pornography is really toxic. And the kind of pornography that our kids are getting involved with online is a material that sometimes, you know, adult parents could never even conceive of themselves, you know, even being out there. And kids have access to this. And so it actually can imprint on the brain. And we see now younger and younger kids, you know, once they've been using pornography and been exposed to pornography, they become more sexually active. They may experiment with sex with each other, either or younger kids. There's a lot of acting out. In fact, I interviewed six teenage girls and boys in the DVD that we were just talking about. They share their story about how they got caught up in the world of online pornography and how it impacted their lives negatively. Now to get to, and it's an addiction very unlike drugs or alcohol, where once you remove the addictive agent, you know, and you eventually detox, then, you know, hopefully, you know, you can deal with those issues and move forward healed. But with pornography, those images are locked in for life. typically. And it's really only, I found, through the blood of Jesus and through renewing the mind, you know, that anyone, adults as well, you know, can really move into a place of the way God wants us and our minds to work when we're involved sexually, and not have all of those distorted, perverted images of sexuality which are promoted in the pornography industry.
And that brings me to a question that I had for you. When a DVD doesn't work, when no amount of teaching or training works, what is the spiritual answer? You've just answered that for us. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and you have been consistently testifying against this evil, against our children. I understand that child pornography is a $3 billion industry, and that 69% of all victims in child abuse are exposed to images between the ages of 0 and 10 years old. So the enemy is targeting babies and children with horrific acts and things that are going through their minds and their little eyes are viewing. Donna, in our remaining moments, if someone is caught in this addiction, whether you're a teenager, whether you're an adult, do you have any last words of wisdom? And then close us out for this segment of testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, Donna Rice Hughes, executive producer and president of Enough is Enough, www.internetsafety101.org, to learn more. Donna, please close our program out today.
Yes, I would say if you or you know someone who's struggling with pornography addiction, it's so important to get help. You know, God made us to be in community with each other and find someone that you can trust. You may need to get some professional counseling and therapy, and that's okay, or get into a 12-step group. These kinds of things are really, really important to do. And I would also say don't be ashamed. And look, if you're a parent and your child comes to you and tells you that they're struggling, please take a deep breath. Tell them you love them. Don't shame them. Put your arms around them and walk through this journey together. We have so many resources at our website, so please use what we have and do your best to prevent these things from happening in the first place. I strongly encourage you to get the Internet Safety 101 program. It can literally save your child's life.
Thank you, Donna, for being with us today on Testimony and for your great and impactful work you are doing for our children and our families all across this nation. We thank you and are grateful. God bless you.
Thank you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.